It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Today on First Lady and Friends, I had a couple of really great youth that were on the podcast. Their names were Renee Calva and Inaga Rao. They're so inspiring, talking about the research that they've done around physical and mental health for teens and how they can get their peers and friends to be better, to be healthier. And they're serving and doing great work. So excited to have you take a listen. Let's get proximate. We're back here on First Lady and Friends. I have a great episode today. I'm really excited. New friends that just walked in and I was introduced to them, but we found out about them because they reached out to us and were telling our team about a really cool project that they've been working on, and it spoke to me and a lot of things we've been working on. So I want to introduce to you Vinay Calva and Inaga Rao. They are with the Live Well Teens nonprofit. So we're really excited. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, I was so impressed by, you know, that you guys reached out and you were talking about this organization that you started. But before we get into that, I want to talk a little bit about you guys, just yourselves. So, Inaga, tell me a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, what you're doing now, a little bit about your family, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so my name is Inaga, and I am born and raised in Utah. My family lives in the Murray area. I have a younger brother and a younger sister. They're both twins, and they are going to go to Skyline next year. And yeah, I've just kind of been living in Utah all my life. Right now, I'm a freshman at the University of Utah, and I kind of am in the downtown area now. I live near here. But yeah, I went to Skyline High School, which is in Mill Creek, and my family's been living in Salt Lake for like 25 years.
So tell me why you chose, because you're in Murray, so mm-hmm. Why did you choose Skyline?
Definitely for Skyline has like the IB program, and we also went to Wasatch, so mm-hmm. Wasatch is kind of a feeder to Skyline, so I got to kind of have like my own little group there, which was really nice. And yeah, it's a fun school to be at.
Yeah. Tell me so you have two siblings mm-hmm. and tell me a little bit about what other, hobbies or interests that you have.
Yeah. So when I was in Skyline, I was on the Skyline Community of Caring program. So we used to go and like do volunteering opportunities like at different places like the Utah Food Bank. We used to go to the Road Home down in Midvale and just kind of go to different elementary schools in our area and kind of help with their reading programs. So I love to do that. And then I was also on the Skyline tennis team. So I used to play tennis like against different high schools. And that was really fun, too.
Oh, that's fun. My daughter's on the tennis team. So that's
okay.
So what inspires you to get involved in service in the way, I mean, you're very young and, you know, a lot of high schoolers aren't always doing those kinds of, I mean, we do have so many that participate, but you know, what really drives you to get involved in these service opportunities?
Ever since I was a young kid, I've always kind of been interested in service. Like when I was in sixth grade, I did like a project, like all these little projects. My family has been like very big on service. Like they volunteer at different community organizations as much as they can. So definitely like seeing them as a role model and seeing how cool it is. And I feel like just, I love the how it makes people feel when you kind of help them out in it, whether it's direct service, like helping at the Road Home, or whether it's indirect. I just love it's like seeing the smile on people's faces when you help them out. So that's, I continue to do it over and over again.
I love that. You know, we've talked a little bit about this, on this show, but mental health, is a big issue with a lot of us these days, especially, our people in high school, middle school, even elementary schools, where we have a lot of students that are struggling with mental health issues. Have you seen a difference in your own self with when you serve? Do you feel like you have maybe better mental health?
I definitely think so. I think that service just provides you like with so much opportunity to like kind of be yourself and kind of like help others and kind of add some like meaning and purpose to your life. You get to meet so many wonderful people, and I feel like that makes you thankful for like the things that you have. And I feel like just being able to help in so many ways and seeing how everyone who works for the organizations, like, it's just such a great environment. Everybody who works there is like trying so hard, doing the best they can to like help their community, and just seeing all of that just like definitely drive me to continue doing that. And yeah, it's definitely, it was like what got me through COVID. Even during COVID, I used to like do all these like little projects like at home, where it was like writing cards, making bookmarks, just like random things like that, just because it's fun.
Yeah,
and it helps, just knowing that like you're making a difference is just much more productive way to use your time than like sitting at home, you know.
I love that. That's so cool. Okay, Renee, I want to talk a little bit about you. Tell me a little bit about yourself and your family and your background.
Yeah, so I was born and raised here in Salt Lake City. I've lived here my whole life. And I am currently a junior at Skyline High School. As Anaga mentioned, I'm currently doing the about the IB diploma there. I'm doing that right now. I'm in the program. And in addition, My family is...
How long has your family been in
the U.S.? My family has been in the U.S. for about... It's been about 22, 23 years now.
Okay.
My parents came here in... my parents lived in New York for a while, and then they came here about a year before I was born. And since then, we've all lived here since... 2006.
What brought them to Utah?
Well, it was mainly my dad's job. Mm-hmm. So my dad works as a doctor. He got employment here in 2005. So my parents moved here. And then a year afterwards, I was born. And then I've just lived here since then.
Okay. That's fantastic. What an interesting journey that they've had, yeah, and that you've had. What got you involved in service and working? What are kinds of things? But you do IB. Are there any other things that you've been doing at the high school as well?
Oh, yes. So I'm pretty involved with the extracurriculars in Skyline. I'm on the speech and debate team, and I compete in a speech event called Extemporaneous Speaking. So what we do there is we prepare a speech for 30 minutes, like on the fly, and then present for 7 minutes to judges, and they rank us.
Wow.
In addition, I also am part of HOSA. Just a few weeks ago, I obtained a state officer position, so now I'm on the Executive Council for Utah HOSA. So
tell me about HOSA. Tell me what it stands for.
So HOSA actually doesn't stand for anything anymore. It used to stand for Health Occupation Students of America, but these days HOSA is just a name.
Okay.
And what the aim of HOSA is mainly to provide an environment for future health professionals. So that's doctors, nurses, anyone working in healthcare, to get skills and motivation to keep going.
So is that what are you looking at going into the medical field?
Yes. In fact, I want to be a doctor when I grow up.
So what kind of doctor would you like to be?
I'm not entirely sure, actually.
What does your dad do?
My dad is an internal medicine physician. He used to work at a hospital just helping out patients. Right now, he works in a few nursing homes, mm-hmm, helping patients, and has a job at a clinic where he also treats patients. So, yeah.
Wow, that's really cool. So tell me a little bit about why you chose the IB program. I know that one's kind of tricky, and I know it's and you did as well. We've looked into it. Emma Kate, I don't know if she's totally committed to it yet. We've done a lot of it's a lot. So tell me a little bit about your experience in there.
Okay, so for me, I mainly chose IB because I really like learning. Mm-hmm. Like, when I go to school, I'm really excited every day to learn something new. And I feel that being in the IB diploma program, where the program really requires you to take a diversity of subjects, mm-hmm, and really link it to the world, I felt that that program would teach me about the world and align with what I value, which is helping the world. And in fact, that's what Live Well Teens is all about. We aim to help teens here in Utah, but we're hoping to expand beyond our Utah's borders to help teens around the country and eventually around the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Why don't you talk a little bit about your journey with your education as well?
Yeah. So to add on to that, what kind of drew me to taking IB classes and things like that is definitely if you do the full IB diploma in addition to kind of taking classes in a variety of subjects, which I think is really cool because you get to be more well-rounded and take classes in everything. And I love how IB has a CAS, which is basically creativity, action, and service component of it. So in addition to doing all your academic coursework, you're required to do something called CAS activities. And they are activities that kind of provide personal development in some way. So either they boost your creativity, either they're a service activity or active or some sort of physical activity. So I feel like the emphasis on improving yourself as a person, through being active and doing service and being creative rather than simply academics is definitely what drew me there, because that would push me to be involved in the Skyline tennis team, being involved in different extracurriculars. And you also get to do a CAS project, which is a service project back in high school. So just being able to see what everybody's projects are was just and being able to see how all these intelligent people are applying what they learn, which I think is really cool with IB.
Yeah, I think that's incredible. I want to talk a little bit about who your mentors have been. Who do you look up to? Who's been somebody that, for both of you, who's been somebody that has really influenced maybe your path or your thinking or what you want to do or the projects that you're working on?
Do you want to go?
Yeah, Vinny?
Sure. So I'd say my main influences would be my parents, especially considering that I have a family member working in healthcare that really influenced my decision to go into medicine. Because when I see a family member working, I've gotten to understand a bit better about what's going on with healthcare, what some of the problems are, and perhaps think about how to fix them. And Live Well Teens ultimately is about public health, which, while it's not medicine, is very much a related field. It's something that doctors need to think about when they're treating patients. And I think that having that inside view to a doctor's life really provided me a better angle on what it's like to be a doctor and really forced me to think about that decision and ultimately go with it.
I love that. Yeah.
And for me, I would say I've definitely Vinay's parents for sure, for Vinay's dad, and definitely my family, because I feel like my family's been super involved in service and been if you see a problem, take a step for it and do what you can to help out. And I feel like that's definitely been something. I take inspiration from our Skyline Community of Caring teachers. Definitely. They were super nice. They were always encouraging and encouraging. If we had an idea, they were okay, how can we make that happen within Community of Caring? And they're so service oriented, which was really cool. And just seeing every time I go to a nonprofit and volunteer, just the leaders of there are always really inspiring to see them wow, and adults can have a full-time job, but also have so much time to give back and serve.
That's so cool. I love that. I always like to ask that because I know there's, I have mentors and people that inspire me, and I think we all need that. Mm-hmm. And especially as we're trying to figure out, our path and the way we want to go, it's always fun to look around and see people that we admire. I want to take a break, but when we come back, I want to get right in to your project, how it got started and how it's going now. So we'll do that when we come right back.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on kslpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're back here with Vinay Calva and Inaga Rayo. They are a couple of students from Skyline High School here in Salt Lake City, and they started an organization called Live Well Teens. And so let's get into that. What is Live Well Teens? Vinay, you've talked a little bit about it, but let's maybe before we say what it is exactly, how did you come up with this idea? Where did the idea to start a nonprofit come from?
I can take this one. So Vinay and I, we've been friends for about 8 years now. So we live really near each other. And every Sunday we used to go and go all the way to a place in South Jordan to go take music lessons. So like, so we would like every time on our drives there, we used to just like talk about like interesting things as we like did as like kids. And one day we were talking about, I think it was sleep or something. We were talking about how like teenagers don't get enough sleep. And like, we were just kind of talking about those and how like, so I was talking about how one of my friends didn't even know that like getting sleep was like a bad idea, and we were just like talking about that. And then we were talking about how like, oh, if only like teenagers knew like were able to like learn about like the health issues that like affect them most, because like healthy habits start from a young age. So we were just like talking about that, and then we were talking about kind of how like I feel like I'd take more if I was like getting advice or like something related to health. I feel like first thing that I would do as a teenager would be like talk to my friends about it, because like teenagers. So we were talking about how it would be really cool if teenagers could get like health information from kids that were kind of their own age, like on their level, kind of talking to them more as friends rather than like someone like a professor or a physician. So then we just kind of started the idea of like, how can we do this? How can we reach out to teens? And we just kept like discussing it. And then one day we just decided to go for it.
Wow. Yeah. Vinay.
Yeah. I'd add that we also started out by making a few videos on Adobe Spark. We didn't end up publishing those, but that's really where we really got this, got the idea of let's expand this beyond just some videos. And in the summer of 2020, so right before my ninth grade and during the pandemic, we did a series of webinars online, and those went really well. We both did them. About very common topics and struggles that teens face. So smoking, vaping, alcohol, stress, depression, and anxiety, sleep, and social media, which, I mean, we just noticed.
Yeah. Yeah, we can talk about that. But yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah. So that's really where we started with the webinars. And then we kept going. We wrote some blog posts to put on the website as well. And while those have been our main two ways of reaching out, like we still write blog posts right now, we're hoping to expand the mediums in which we communicate to teens. So podcasts, eventually reaching onto different social media platforms, and also presenting in schools, which we're hoping to do sometime this year.
That's fantastic. Talk a little bit about maybe what specifically that you're addressing. I mean, I know it sounds like there's several topics, but talk a little bit about
those.
Yeah,
so kind of the mission for Live Well Teens is to provide teenagers with like evidence-based information in a way that's kind of simplified and broken down for them that's easy to understand. And just like I said, we kind of address a variety of topics, but just that kind of relate to teens' physical, so mental and emotional health. So a variety of different issues we offer them in, like, if you want webinars, there's like the longer version. And then we also have topics like blog topics that are kind of like about shorter things. So they can talk about things like sleep and like physical activity and just kind of, and like candy and just kind of smaller topics broken down. And yeah, we then kind of expanded it to like a club at our high school, but I guess we'll get on that later. Yeah.
So you have these specific things that you're talking about. Where do you get your information? Where are you gleaning these, you know, the evidence base that you're talking about? Where are these, where's the research? Where are you looking?
I'll take this one. So for basically all of our resources, what we do is we go onto scientific journal articles like PubMed, and we spend a bunch of time like sifting through all of the research, sifting through as much of the available research as we can. And we also use that to kind of write our information. So Vinay and I take a lot of time into writing each one to make sure that it's as accurate as possible. We also do have it reviewed by like medical professionals to make sure that all the information is like up to date as we go. And yeah, all of them are from scientific research articles that are like the most up to date now, and we kind of look at different types of like system or like review articles and things to get our information.
Yeah, Vinay, talk a little bit about your process. Like, how do you decide what goes on? How do you decide, you know, what's relevant in the moment?
So our main process for figuring out topics is mostly off the top of our head, what we're just thinking of. Like, hey, this is a good topic to put on the website. This is something teens should know about. But whatever we do, we start off by writing a draft, and we sent, we after making sure that it's completely accurate and done, we send it off to our medical reviewer. He goes over it, and then after some quality control, we publish it on our website. Forum members, they write their blog posts and whatever we ask them to do. Generally, it's writing a blog post, but we give them some choice in what they want to make. We go over the content, we pass it through our medical reviewer, and after that, then we publish it on the website.
And yeah, to add on to what you say, I feel like we do take inspiration from, like, he's a high school student, I'm a college student, so kind of the issues that are affecting them most. So, like, that time during COVID, we noticed that, like, a lot of teenagers were, like, stressed out because, like, COVID, so that's kind of where our webinar about stress came into the picture. And then we noticed that, like, a lot of teenagers were on social media. So just kind of taking inspiration from, like, what we see, like, in our daily lives at our high schools, kind of the issues that we see are affecting ourselves and, like, our peers the most. It's kind of where we get the idea for it. So, like, we'll see, like, vending machines and be like, wait a second, why don't these have any healthy options? Or, you know, something like that. And then we'll be like, okay, let's make a blog about it.
So tell me if through your research and through your blogs and everything that you've learned, what kind of behavior changes have you seen in yourself as a result of what you're learning?
Sure. In terms of me, I would definitely say that I've really started caring about my health more. I've started to realize the importance of getting a good night's sleep, eating healthily. And while sometimes I'm not able to keep it up, after all, we all have issues with our health, with constantly maintaining our health 100% of the time, it's definitely encouraged me to think about it and consequently to act. And I think that's what's really beneficial about this project is about this website, is that by publishing this content, we're also increasing our own awareness and making ourselves more aware of our health as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also, yeah, to add on to that, I also definitely feel like I've become more, like, aware for sure of my health and aware of, like, how making decisions when you're younger, like, good, healthy decisions can affect you. So I feel like, obviously, in college, like, you can, like, stay up all night, like, scroll, like, party, all those things. But I feel like as I've learned more about it, I've become, like, more aware. So I, like, hold myself accountable for those things. And I also feel like I try my best if there's, like, a friend, then I'm, like, I kind of try to encourage them to make good decisions. So not just like, so I can practice what I preach, and then like in my community, like to my friends, I'm like, hey, like, let's not stay up all night on social media, like, let's go to bed like at an early hour. So yeah, things like that, I feel like just being able, and then I also feel like I've been seeing myself as like kind of a role model to like my younger siblings, and like because I can see, show them that like how the importance of making healthy decisions. So I feel like my younger siblings and like my cousins and all those people will kind of look up and like kind of use me as like an example of like, this is why you should stay healthy and like make good decisions even when you're in college and when you're surrounded by a bunch of, you know.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask about. I mean, I know it's in high school, it's hard too, but in college it gets a little even harder because you are, you know, on your own and you are making these decisions, you know, for yourself every day instead of, you know, you're going to the grocery store instead of your parents or whatever. But so talk a little bit about maybe how are you able to influence others? I mean, I try really hard to get my daughter to eat well. I try to get her to go to bed on time. And I mean, how are you able to, are you seeing a change in friends and people that are participating in your, you know, and reading your blog posts and participating in your webinars? Are you seeing some results?
Do you want to take this one or should I?
You take it.
Okay, so I definitely feel like we've seen, like, I know definitely my younger siblings have become, like, more conscious of what they eat. Like, when, like, I came home for, like, the weekend for a while, and I was like, everyone's asleep and it's 10:30. I was like, really? So like, I feel like they've definitely like seen, cause they see like us doing all the research and they see like my family and I like talking about it. And I do feel like some of my, like some peers that I talked to who've like looked at our information have been like, I had no idea that like this was such an issue. Or they've been like, I know, yeah, I know that not getting enough sleep was like bad, but like, you didn't know. Or like social media, they were like, they never knew that like something as simple as like Instagram could like be harming their mental health. So I feel like definitely the awareness has like made people more aware. And I do think that we've seen some, like I've seen my own friends like go like on social media less, like when they're around, like when they're on me, like I'll, they'll see like scrolling on Instagram and then I'll look at them and they're like, oh, sorry. And I'll be like, oh.
Yeah, Vinay, have you, were you, I mean, have you made some major changes, or have you seen friends or family making changes that you're aware of?
Well, I'd say most of the changes I've seen are in regards to myself. Because a lot of things, my family just kept me on track. So sleep at a reasonable hour, make sure you're finishing your homework every day, those things. But as I've grown, and especially after I joined high school, I've had to start making those decisions on my own. But in part because of Liverpool Teens and in part just out of habit, I've continued to maintain those things. I try my best to sleep at a reasonable hour. To the extent I can, I try to eat healthy, those sort of things.
Yeah, that's so great. I think I grew up, you know, with parents that were pretty, you know, I mean, I was very active. I was always playing sports. I was, my mom, we ate well. We always had fruits and vegetables and, you know, those kinds of things. And then I know there's a lot of people that didn't. And so I think those habits are hard to make if you haven't been used to that. I know it sounds like you both have maybe homes that were already kind of in that vein a little bit.
Yeah. And it's cool. I feel like learning about these sort of things as a teenager, like when they grow up and like have families and things like that, like you can continue to like spread that on to your children and things like that, because you already have the information necessary to like the latest evidence-based information to like make healthy habits for yourself and your family.
Yeah. I love that. I want to get into one thing before we when we come back, but it's mental health. We've touched on it a little bit, but I want to talk a little bit about how the connection that you've seen between physical and mental health. And we'll do that when we come right back. We're back here with students, a freshman in college, Anaga Rayo and Vinay Calva, who's a junior at Skyline High School. They're talking about their organization, Live Well Teens, which I think is so inspiring. You guys are amazing. This is so cool. I mean,
thank you.
I mean, kids are doing things and that I never even dreamed of, you know, as a kid. And so I feel so inspired by you guys. We touched a little bit on mental health, and I want to go back to it. Prior to the legislative session, we had the governor and I put on a big youth mental health summit, where we brought in professionals from, you know, all over, talking about the what's happening with our young people, adolescents, around mental health, and the trends that we're seeing and the research. You guys are really into research, and you're really into, you know, making sure you have the right information. So I love that about your organization and what you're doing. What we're seeing is a huge uptick that we can't ignore anymore. I think for a long time, people have tried to write it off, that it wasn't, you know, a correlation, that it maybe was just a correlation, not a causation. And if you guys are smart, you know your research and your data. There's some recent studies that are showing causation, that social media is actually causing anxiety and depression and self-harm, especially with young women. And so, you know, as we were at that summit, I'm listening to this research, and, you know, it was very obvious that we had to do something. And so there was some legislation that was passed, and it's been reported worldwide, actually, in the last few months, this first of its kind of legislation. But I think what we didn't have in the room, we had one youth there that talked a little bit, but I think what we haven't heard enough of is your voices on this issue. So let's talk, because you're into this health and mental health, which I think in your research, you would probably also agree that there is such a high connection between physical and mental health. I think there's no denying that. I think it's pretty well documented that we can't have good physical health without good mental health, and vice versa. So let's talk a little bit about social media. So tell me your experiences with social media. Tell me your friends' experiences, and tell me the results that you've seen with mental health.
Can I take this one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so in terms of my own social media use, it's primarily limited to YouTube.
Okay.
I don't have any Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram accounts. Okay. I don't generally use social media.
Was that a choice that you made? Was that a choice you made with your parents? Was that a a choice your parents made for you?
It's mainly my choice.
Perfect.
I didn't really want to engage with social media. I just didn't want to interact with it that much.
Do you feel like you... What I see is that I think there's a lot of FOMO, the fear of missing out.
Yep.
When, and my daughter's this way too, because I haven't let her be on social media. I haven't let her have any accounts for that reason, because I've seen the research.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a bit of a fight. And her thing is she's so fearful that she's missing out, that she's not seeing the things that her friends are doing, or she's not connecting with people. Or have you found that at all?
Actually, lately, so in my clubs, in a few of my clubs, we use Discord and GroupMe to stay in touch, and especially to make sure that announcements go out to everyone. I've been noticing lately that often I want to keep checking Discord when I'm supposed to be doing other stuff. And although that came a bit late for me, I did realize I realized that that's not exactly the best thing for your productivity, and especially for your mental health, because you keep thinking about social media.
Yeah.
You just keep thinking about, what am I not seeing? And you forget about what you are seeing, which is the stuff that you're doing right now. And all those things that you probably forget about, put at the back of your mind just to respond to that notification or see those things that people are posting.
Yeah. That's so powerful, that draw. I mean, that we talk about youth, but truthfully, I would say the majority of adults are addicted and have the same type of issues. But yeah.
I've definitely feel like I've seen that too. I feel like in terms of social media, the biggest thing is, like you said, would be FOMO, like fear of missing out. Cause I feel like a lot of people, especially the younger people who get social media, don't really like get the idea that like social media is like someone's highlight reel. Like, so comparing yourself like in bed right now being bored scrolling to somebody like, I mean, and if you see a picture of like somebody like, oh, like on vacation or something like that, like, that is not an accurate comparison. Like, nobody's life is like 100% perfect. And I feel like if you look through like everyone's social media, then like, yeah, it does look like everyone else is out doing fun things. So I feel like that definitely contributes to it. Seeing like, oh, all this person is in like, went to Europe for spring break and I'm just like working, or like just like that comparison, I feel like is a big thing. And I also feel like specifically for like young women, it's also with the amount of like influencers that are out there, with the amount of people that are like perpetuating like body standards that I feel like are definitely unrealistic. Like, if you look on social media, the photos are like heavily edited, heavily like they take them in a professional studio. They are not like natural people just taking them like they just woke up. Like, they, a lot of them are staged, a lot of them, obviously not all of them, but like a lot of them are staged, a lot of them are done in multiple angles and edited to make sure that the person looks as perfect as possible. So I feel like it ends up with people, like especially young women, having this unrealistic like a standard of like, this is what I should look like, where it's like, no, this is not even what, that's not even what they look like, that's what them with some editing like editing and like lots of takes looks like. So like then and I feel like that promotes like a culture of like, this is what your body should look like, instead of like body positivity, which I feel like is a big thing with social media.
Yeah No, that's huge. I think you hit on something with young women. It's also, not only is it, you know, the comparisons and the unrealistic body images, but it, and Vinay, you talked a little bit about this too. It's that constant thinking about it.
Yeah.
There's, you're constantly, and the algorithms on those social media platforms are designed
for it. They are designed, right? To, if you like something or if you share it, then there's an algorithm and it's designed to show you more of that same thing. So you, and the idea is psychologically, they've looked at it like when you're on social media, you get like on a dopamine like rush, there's increased levels of dopamine on your brain. So then like the second you like kind of get out of it, you're like, oh, like all, there's like a sudden like decrease in dopamine because you're no longer being like constantly stimulated by all these posts and like likes and comments and all those things.
Yeah And it's a powerful draw. So Vinay, talk a little bit about it. Maybe you've seen it, have you seen in research some of the stuff that it's doing to our brains? Can you talk a little bit about, you know, any research that you guys have come across related to mental health and social media?
So it's been a few years since we did our social media webinar. Obviously, the state of research has evolved since then, especially because there are thousands of studies published every year. Mm-hmm. So In terms of any studies I've seen that examine how social media impacts your brain, I haven't seen very many lately. But I would say that social media definitely has a big societal impact. And we were just talking about body image, but it isn't just the posts of influencers that people see. They see many teens get their news from social media. Many teens get...
Many humans.
Yeah. Teens and adults alike. And a lot of them are moving away from legacy news and other sources like that. And that's causing huge changes that aren't necessarily good. Now, I should caveat here that social media is pretty important. It's not all bad. Teens use social media to connect, and I'm sure the mental health crisis in Utah and around the nation would be a lot worse without social media. But we have to keep in mind that social media is only good as someone's use of social media is only as good as the content they see. If they're seeing, because if you see content that's credible and made by trusted health professionals, as a lot of them do, or if you're engaging with scientists who often put stuff on social media to wind their audience, then it's not going to have the same impact than if you're just seeing the same line of posts from one influencer.
Right. No, that's a great point.
And yeah, I definitely feel like there have been a couple studies. I'll have to look specifically for the details, but I have seen a couple that are out there that have talked about how like increased social media usage is met with like depression. They've talked about anxiety. They've talked about how it leads to like less concentration on like school because they're like distracted with like thinking about like what we said before, thinking about like something they saw on social media. And I definitely feel like a big thing that I've seen is like one of the main reasons is also like cyberbullying, like people seeing things online. That people getting bullied for not having enough likes or followers. But yeah, all of those, I've definitely seen studies that have said that social media can contribute to depression, anxiety, like poor body image, all of those things.
Yeah, we're seeing that a lot in the research that we've been reading too about, you know, and the self-harm and the rate of suicide and things like that. How have you been able to combat that in your own lives? How have you been able to push it away or focus differently? How do you make this happen, and how do you help this happen for your friends?
So for me personally, I like set screen time limits on myself. So I'm like, I have a limit where my phone, like on screen time, where my phone will like get mad at me if I like use social media too much. And I also feel like the biggest thing I just like keep telling myself is like every time I see something and every time I'm like, oh, they're so cool, is like, I'm like, that's just a highlight reel. If you take every picture from every vacation I've been to and put it all together, like it'll look exactly the same, you know? and then just keep making sure I feel like engaging in like other activities. Like when I'm with friends and family, I don't scroll on social media. I try to like spend quality time with them, like hanging out with them and like making memories instead of going on social media. And every time I feel like I do want to like pick up my phone and like check Instagram or something, I feel like I have been like trying to like get better about like distracting myself with something else or like trying to set limits and just things like that.
Oh, I love that. So we know how important friends are for when we're in our teen years. Mm-hmm. And truthfully, we always talk about these things as if they're separate from adults. Actually, what we're finding out again from some really great research from Arthur Brooks, some happiness studies that he's done, mm-hmm. is that actually friends are important to all of us.
Yeah.
Friends are really important to me, and I have really great friends. I guess my question is, are you seeing less, what we're seeing across the board is less face-to-face interactions?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there was the pandemic and that set so much of us behind, especially, you know, those of you who experienced this in your teen years, or preteen years. This separation from human to human connection was really damaging. So maybe talk a little bit about, are you seeing yourselves and your friends connecting more face to face now that sort of we're I guess in a post pandemic world, or is it, you know, or are you not? I guess that's the question. Are you seeing that and is it helping?
Sure. Yeah. So I'm seeing people, at least in my life, talking amongst each other. Like I talk to my classmates all the time in school. And although my social interaction is a bit more limited outside of school, part of the reason I really enjoy school is because I get to interact in person with my friends, talk to them, ask them how they're doing, check on them, and they can check on me and make sure I'm doing okay. And I think one of the big benefits to having a friendship is that friends can really tell you things that you may not realize about yourself. And sometimes that really helps you out and think about, okay, what do I need to change? What is going right in my life? What, you know, should I, or even should I keep some of my other friendships?
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I do feel like, yeah, after post-COVID, I definitely feel like there has been like an increase in like people like getting together and just like watching a movie or like doing something that's not as like face-to-face interaction. So I feel like for me personally in my friendships, like my friends know, like I'm not a fan of like just getting together and like watching a movie on the TV or like scrolling on social media. Like I'm a fan of doing something like we said, like dinner or like lunch where we can like talk and like talk about some of the things that are going on. But yeah, I've definitely seen like we will go and like there have been times where like seen my younger siblings hang out with like their friends, and like I'll go in the room and all they're doing is either be like playing video games or like all scrolling and then showing each other like social media posts, and I'm like, this is not so I've definitely seen that there's kind of a mix. I do feel like people are trying now, like they're recognizing the importance of face-to-face importance, but it's also like COVID has been a hard thing on everyone. And yeah. I feel like COVID, along with like the constant stimulation from social media, like you can't get the same level of stimulation with your friends that you do when you're on social media, or like the same level of like dopamine, which I feel like causes a lot of, especially kids who have social media younger and younger and don't really like know the importance of like staying off social media and like being like mature enough to like have value face-to-face connections and things like that.
Yeah. I think this generation's going to figure it out, and I think we've screwed it up pretty bad. So we're counting on you guys to figure this out. No pressure. But just as we end here, I just want to just give each of you a chance to talk about what are your hopes and dreams? What do you want to see in the future? And, you know, what gives you optimism?
Yeah, so I definitely feel like there are more and more teens that I feel like are becoming more like aware of these sort of things. And I feel like as people like learn about these things and as people realize like the importance, more people are understanding like, oh yeah, like that's bad for me. I'm not going to do that. Like, and I also do feel like there's like legislation being passed, like we said, to like kind of limit the social media, like to kind of realize that like kids that are on social media this young, like kids are getting younger and younger. There's like rules to prevent kids that are younger and younger on social media. So I feel like those are definitely things that provide me hope. And I also do feel like mental health is becoming more like talked about now, and definitely more people are like addressing it and learning about it, which is really cool. And I feel like that's allowing, like especially with counselors in schools and things like that, it's allowing like kids to have the access to the support and resources that they need. I mean, obviously it's not perfect, but like it is, like kids know that like they have counselors there that are like able to help them. So I feel like that's definitely a big thing. And as for my future, so I'm in nursing, so I'm studying to be a nurse. So my goal, we'll see, is like I want to be a nurse practitioner eventually, like a psychiatric nurse practitioner. So just specifically work with like kids on like mental health related issues and like help them like manage mental health and things like that. So that's something I've always wanted to do in the future.
That's awesome. Happy.
Yeah. So I'm hopeful for the future too, because I see more teens talking about this for sure. Like in my school, we've had more initiatives and more people talking about social media. I've seen posters around the hallways, and the student council, I think, does a pretty good job of publicizing school events too. And that's pretty normal at most high schools, but those school events are really important because they are in-person interaction that people have. And it brings back some really, really good memories for so many people. A lot of people hearken back to their high school days when they think about all those things they did when they were young. And the more opportunities that teens have to do that, even if they're busy with homework and jobs and all that, all those things, it helps.
Yeah, so, I agree. Yeah.
So as for me, I'm planning on becoming a doctor, as I've mentioned, and I'm hoping to pursue my career and hopefully pick a good specialty where I can continue to help out. And I'm hoping we can keep growing Louisville Teens and increase our impact.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you again to both of you for being on here and sharing your experiences and your stories. It's powerful. It's powerful when we have people like you that are doing this work in, you'll have a bigger influence than adults, you know, my age will, because this, you're in it. You're dealing with it every day. And I love that you both have so much optimism and hope for the future, because I do too. So thank you again. We're so excited to talk more about Live Well Teens, and we'll put your website on our show notes. So thank you so much for being here.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you for having us.
Yeah. Thank you.
To get involved with Live Well Teens, go to their website, livewellteens.org. Thanks for being a friend.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.